The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
Father God, I pray that as we now look into your word this morning, that God, that you would speak to us clearly. I pray that our hearts would be yielded to you, Lord, as your words speak to us. Words written thousands of years ago still have a meaning for us today, God, and I pray that our eyes and our ears and our hearts would be to open to what you have us to hear as individuals this morning, but God, also as the community that you're building together as Hope Hill Church. And just speak to us. In your name we pray. Amen. We got a lot to cover today, and I want to try to get through it quickly because I want us to end today in a special way. And I'll give you some instructions about that in a little bit. But if you would turn to Joshua chapter 7 in your Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, there are some on the chairs probably close to you. Joshua chapter 7. And if for some reason you don't own a Bible, you're welcome to take one of the Bibles on the chairs as our gift to you. We want you to have the Word of God and be able to have it on a regular basis. So Joshua chapter 7. Today we're kind of concluding a study that we started about a month ago called Strong and Courageous. Joshua was a person called by God to lead the nation of Israel for a time and season. And there were many things that God had promised this people, but they needed to follow him. And as all of us oftentimes are, we can sometimes allow things in our life to distract us. And sometimes they aren't simply distractions. Sometimes we make choices. We willfully sometimes choose to not follow God. And today we're going to see some results or some consequences that can happen when God has a plan for us and we choose to do things differently. And my hope and prayer today is as we look at the story in Scripture today, that we don't look at it as an isolated, standalone Scripture or story from history, but that we see the truths that are captured within what happens here and apply them to our lives today. Just to kind of cast some vision, I've been trying to use the month of January here to kind of tell you what we're hoping and praying for 2013. In 1 week, we're going to celebrate our second year anniversary as a church. And several years ago, God began to birth in the hearts of many of you here and in the hearts of my wife and I that we would one day be a part of a church that God has birthed as Hope Hill Church. We didn't know the name, of course, back then, but we had clear pictures of a church that would be in a community that if that church ceased to exist, the community would miss it because the church was so dedicated to not just coming together and to read God's word, but to regularly find ways to apply it to our life and to use it to make a difference in the lives of those around us. And I believe that from the beginning, that has been God's plan, that God didn't want to just have a people group separated and isolated and just worship him, but that would be used by him to reach the world. And that is true for us today. But many times, what can get in the way of God's mission for us is our own agenda, our own plans. And sometimes those plans are in direct disobedience to God and his will for our life. And today we're going to see a glimpse of that. Some of what I want to challenge you on is that many of us grew up in church. How many of you grew up in church? Okay, a little more than half of you. Some of us come to church with preconceived ideas. We see the church as a building sometimes, or a place where we go, instead of the church as us, the people. And it really doesn't matter where we go. We are the church always. As children of God, with God in our hearts, we are the dwelling place of God. Scripture tells us that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and God lives inside of us as we are surrendered to him. And so where two or three are gathered, Jesus is there in our midst. And as we go out, we are missionaries sent out by God to go where he sends us. And here we're going to see a specific story of how God is sending the Israelites into this land that he promised them. But there are people who do not know who God is. And And there are things that stand in the way of God. And so as the people continue to put faith and trust in him, God blesses. God removes obstacles. God challenges them, stretches them, grows them. But we're going to see a key thing that often will come in the way. And sometimes it isn't an outside obstacle or an outside force, but instead it's something internal. It's a desire within us that is in all of us. Each of us are born with sin in our life. How many of you have ever committed a sin? Wow, you sinners. All of us. Scriptures tell us that there are none righteous, no, not one. And each of us is born with sin in our lives. And God sent his son to take care of that sin and to free us from the curse of sin in our life. And as we go towards the end of today, my hope and my prayer is that we as a community would see, would allow God to open our eyes to the sin that may be in our life, to the struggles and the obstacles that we have brought into our own life, and that we today would commit to saying, God, help me do whatever it takes to remove that which is hindering me from following you. So my hope and prayer is that that would be our prayer together as we read through this passage today. Joshua chapter 7. Now let me say one more disclaimer. Sometimes bad things happen to good people, right? Do you agree with me? And just because bad things happen to us does not mean that we've done something wrong. Just because sometimes God allows us to go through a time of testing does not necessarily mean that we have gotten off course. Sometimes we're doing everything right, and God will still choose to challenge us, to grow us, like a coach might in a drill before a big game. He'll push you to your limits, or she'll push you to your limits, so that you perform better when the game comes. And sometimes bad things happen to good people. So do not get from today that if there's something messed up in your life, it's because you have sin and something unresolved. The other thing that I don't want you to get from today is if you have enough faith and if you have enough good things in your life, God will bless you with riches and easygoing paths. Sometimes we're going to do all that we can and things aren't going to be easy. So that's just a little disclaimer for today. Let's look into what we have for today. Chapter 7, verse 1. In chapter 6, last week, if you missed it, we entered into the promised land and the first city of Jericho was battled. The walls fell and the people moved into the land a step further. Chapter 7, verse 1. But the Israelites acted unfaithfully in regard to the devoted things. Achan, son of Carmi, the son of Zimri, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took some of them. So the Lord's anger burned against Israel. Israel acted unfaithfully. And many times we as people, we can be following God with all our might one day, and the next day comes and we find ourselves tripping up in the sin that so easily entangles us. And here we see, if you look through the past, through history, we as human beings have constantly done this. Even in the midst of just one day being delivered and freed by God and seeing a miraculous work happen, the next day we can stumble and fall into our own desires. And here, this is what Israel does. In chapter 6, they had taken over the city, and within the city there were riches, there were gold items, there were idols that were made out of gold in formation of demonic gods that the people would worship. And we're going to see that some of the individuals, when they went in, they saw these riches, they saw these beautiful things, and although God said, do not take any of them, they are devoted and made for destruction, they are not to be yours, do not touch them, we're going to see that a couple of people saw this stuff and they wanted it, and greed crept in. And this man named Achan saw some beautiful things and he desired it. He coveted it. And he went and he took it. And he committed sin. And that's how sin works. Sin is pleasing to the eye. It's pleasing to the senses. We desire it. What is going to cause you to sin is not something that you're not going to, that's going to gross you out, but something that you want. If we were leaving church here today and somebody was on the corner, you know, selling heroin, I would not be tempted to buy it. I'm just not into that. But if somebody was out there selling some stolen Star Wars goods, I might be tempted. Satan knows how to get us. And he is going to grab something that he knows is going to attract you and distract you from what God wants. And he's going to put it in your life and put it in your path and try to get you to follow it instead of following God's plan. And that's what happened here with Israel. They had been blessed by God, and yet they were tempted and fell away, led by their own desires. Sin is real. Sin exists in every single one of our lives. Do we have anybody out there that's ever been into archery? Yeah, a couple of you. What is sin in archery? Anybody know? Sin is a term that means missing the mark. If you're an archer and you're aiming at the bullseye and you miss, you've sinned. And many times growing up, I heard oftentimes sin compared to archery. That sin is simply missing the mark. You try as hard as you might to try and hit the bullseye, hit the goal, and when you miss it, you've sinned. But as I studied and prayed through this message this week, what caught my attention is sin is not just mistakes. Sin is not just trying as hard as you can and missing and falling short, but sin, instead of missing the target, is willfully choosing to not shoot for the target God has intended you to shoot at, but to pick another target entirely. And many of us, instead of aiming at God's target for our life, we are distracted by other targets, and we're aiming at the wrong target. And sin equals not just a mistake, not just trying hard and falling short, but sin is willfully choosing to go in a different direction than God is leading you. The Bible tells us, to him who knows to do good, James chapter 4, verse 17, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. We have been called by God to certain good works. And the things that you've been called to do may be different than the things that you've been called to do. But God calls each of us to certain paths and certain plans. And if we don't do those things, it is sin. The other thing is, we're a fallen, broken people. Nobody has to teach us how to sin. I was born with a brother about 2 years younger than me. Nobody had to teach us how to punch each other in the face. It came naturally. We would fight over G.I. Joe toys and He-Man toys and what show we were going to watch. And we would sin. Nobody had to teach us that. It's in each of us. We are born with sin in our lives. Romans 3:10, as I already quoted once today, the Romans 3:10 tells us that there is none righteous, not even one. Every single one of us, and left to our own ways, will pursue things that are not in God's plan. Romans 3:23 tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Sin is an illness that has infected the entire human race. And there's only one cure. But without that cure, sin will destroy us. Sin will take us for a while in a way that seems pleasing. Sin will, for a season, make us feel fulfilled. But in the end, it leads to destruction. 1 John 1:5 tells us that God is light. That's not the right one. 1 John 1:5 says that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. So if God is light, and in him there is no darkness, which represents sin, and we are human beings and we are born with sin, scriptures tell us that we can't be in God in that state. And so something has to happen. God is holy, and we are sinful. And we have to come to realize that God is holier than we imagine, and we are more sinful than we realize. And we have to come before God willing to be broken, willing to be surrendered, and allowing God to change the sin that's in our hearts and in our lives. Let's see how sin affects the Israelites. Joshua chapter 7, verse 2. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to the next city, Ai, which is near Beth Aven, to the east of Bethel, and told them, "Go up and spy out the region." So the men went up and spied out Ai. Verse 3. When they returned to Joshua, they said, "Not all the people will have to go up against Ai. Send only 2,000 or 3,000 men to take it, and do not weary all the people, for only a few men are there." So about 3,000 went up. And when they had routed, but they were routed by the men of Ai, who killed about 36 of them. They chased the Israelites from the city gate as far as the stone quarries and struck them down on the slopes. At this, the hearts of the people melted and became like water. Then Joshua tore his clothes and he fell face down to the ground before the ark of the Lord, remaining there until evening. The elders of Israel did the same. They sprinkled dust on their heads, and Joshua said, "Sovereign God, why did you bring this people across the Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites simply to let us be destroyed? If only we had been content to stay on the other side of the Jordan. Oh Lord, what can I say? Now that Israel has been routed by its enemies, the Canaanites and the other people of the country will hear about this, and they will surround us and wipe out our name from the earth. What then will you do for your own great name?" God had promised before they set foot in the Jordan River, crossing to the other side, God had promised that land. And God told them that there were going to be times that they were going to be tested. He told them to be careful to obey the law that was given to Moses, not to part from it to the right or to the left, but to meditate on the word of God day and night. And then they would be prosperous. But the problem was, is as they were led by God across the Jordan River and they came to the other side, and the first gigantic city, the city of Jericho, a city with fortified walls, as it fell, I'm sure the people began to say, "Wow, this is easier than we thought it was going to be. We can take out anybody." And they started to become prideful and built up. And so the soldiers came back and reported to Joshua, "That was easy. This next city is nothing compared to Jericho. Let us only send a few thousand and take it out." But they forgot the key component. Who led them into the first battle? God. And here now they think they can do it on their own. And not only do they think they can do it on their own, but in the midst of this first battle, they completely disregarded the instructions set by God and chose to willfully sin. God, in the same way, has shown Hope Hill Church some pictures of what He has for us in the promised land for us. We know that one day God will have land for us where we won't have to rent a space in a school, where we will have a facility that we can use to worship God on Sunday mornings, but that we can also use to bless our community 7 days a week. We envision a homeless shelter. We envision a food pantry that can be used by all from the county and from surrounding counties. We envision a coat and clothing closet so that nobody has to go cold in the winter. And we envision us being a way that we can spread the gospel both in word and in deed and equip the body of Christ through community groups and disciple-making classes and equipping one another to be the witnesses God has called us to be. God has something great for us. And we believe that as we follow Him, He will lead us into these great things. But we need to look at our lives each step of the way. And we need to say, "God, continue to refine us. Continue to show us if there are areas in our life that we are allowing to hold us back. Continue to show us if there are areas of our life where our focus gets shifted so that we aren't prohibited from taking what you have promised us." I believe we're on the verge of seeing some amazing things happen. Just this past week, I've got a phone call from a guy named John Payne, who apparently is the great-great-great-great-great-great-great descendant of Sir Thomas Paine, who owned a ton of land here in Prince William County. And he has called us and he has said, I've got all this land. I've got several people who have offered to buy it. And would you guys like to use it as a church? Of course, it's not free, but he's wanting to sell it quick. And so I've called a couple people. Ernie Gonzalez is here today. Ernie, I've called Ernie and I said, Ernie, check out this land. Is it even worth pursuing? God is going to lead us. And my hope is that we keep our eyes on him so that when the time comes and God says it's time to move, we're ready to follow him. My hope and prayer is that we as a people will unite together in seeking God for vision and seeking God for prayer and in seeking God to say, God, purify us. Keep us on the path. Show us the areas of our life that need to change so that we are not distracted. Let's keep going. Joshua tore his clothes. The first thing he did was he was clueless. He didn't understand why God would lead them through Jericho and into the land simply to be destroyed by their enemy. And so many times when trouble comes upon us, the first thing we often do is say, why God? Instead of looking at ourselves, right? God, we blame God. God, why did you let this happen? And here's what Joshua does. He turns to God, and even the fellow elders in the community come with Joshua, and they fall down on their face, and they say, God, why? And they've got their focus in the complete wrong place. He then cries out, and he says, if only we had been content. And so many times, this is the greatest sin of Christians, is the desire to be comfortable and the desire to be content. It was so much easier when there was only a small group of us meeting in the house. Why did we have to stress us out with set up and tear down every week and move into a school? How many of you ever thought that? Don't admit it. But so many times it's so much easier just to take the comfortable path. Joshua says, we should have just stayed on the other side. There were people here. God, you just let them have it. You can keep us over here. God doesn't want us to stay content. God constantly wants to prepare us for the next step. God constantly wants to show us and stretch us and to bring us to the next thing that he has for us. And my prayer is that as long as God allows me to be a part of leading Hope Hill Church, I will never allow us to be content and to become satisfied with the status quo, but that we will always be looking for the next thing that God has for us and seeking him and saying, you know what, we may not be able to afford it, but we're going to adopt those 50 families that God has shown us. Together as a community, we can do this. We might have to be stretched. We might have to be challenged. It may take some faith, but that's what God wants for us, not to be content. We need to allow ourselves to be put in a place where if God doesn't show up, bad things are going to happen. We need to allow ourselves to be put in a place where if God doesn't show up, our efforts and our best isn't going to be good enough. We have to put ourselves in a place where we are dependent on God for everything. And when we allow ourselves to be faithful in him, God promises that he will not let us down. He promises that he will always remain faithful and keep his promises. I want us to be reminded of something. I'm going to ask our ushers to come up. I've got a couple carts up here of rocks. We are talking about sin today, but today we will not be stoning anyone, so don't be afraid. The ushers are going to pass out these rocks to each of you. Back in Joshua chapter 3, as the Israelites passed through the Jordan River, God told them to pick up stones from the middle of the Jordan River. That was at one time, one moment flood stage, and the next moment dry ground. And God said, as you pass through the Jordan River, pick up a stone, carry it to the other side, and place it down in a pile to build an altar, a memorial to remember what God has done for you. And my challenge to you that week was to look back at your own life, the trials and the struggles that God has brought you through, and to grab the stones from those memories and to remember, I remember that one time when we could barely make ends meet. We had a bill that was due, and we had no idea how we were going to feed our children. But God provided. God showed up. And take that stone of remembrance and put it in your hand and hold on to it. There was that time when me and my spouse were about to divorce. But God worked a miracle. And he showed up in the midst of it in a way that we couldn't even imagine. And God healed our marriage. And sure, there are still things that we struggle with between us. But God has been there. And as long as we keep our eyes on him, God is healing our marriage. And take that stone of remembrance and remember what God has done. But there are also times in Scripture where stones are a representation of sin in our lives. Where stones are a representation of something that would hinder us and hold us back. And my hope and prayer today, it is as you hold that stone in your hand, that that stone would become a physical example of whatever it is in your life that is keeping you from following God. And maybe you'd be sitting there and say, you know what, I've got a few sins in my life, but I'm still following God. Sin is sin. And I'm not saying that each and every one of us needs to be perfect in order to be a Christian. I'm not saying that at all. But God desires no sin to be in our life. God desires us to be completely submitted and broken and humbly focused on him. And when we come to a point of repentance, God will work amazing things in our life beyond what we could ever imagine. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, the scripture says this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders. Not just some things, not just the big sins, but everything that hinders us. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for our joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such great opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And you have forgotten that the word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. Today, my hope and my challenge to us is that we would take hold, first of all, of the reminders in our life of the good things that God has done for us. But then we would see the sin in our life that keeps us from embracing and being able to capture all that God has for us. Verse 10 of Joshua chapter 7. The Lord said to Joshua, "Stand up. What are you doing down in your face? I did not cause this. Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen. They have lied. They have put them with their own possessions. That is why the Israelites cannot stand against their enemies. They turn their backs and run because they have been made liable to destruction. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy whatever among you is devoted to destruction. So go now and consecrate the people. Tell them, consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. That which is devoted among you, O Israel, you cannot stand against your enemies until you remove it." My hope and prayer for us as a church is that we will, first of all, believe in the promises that God has for us. And the second thing we would do is look to God and say, God, what is in my way to keep you from using me to be a part of your plan? And my hope is today that as we take a special time as a community before God, that we together would come and say, God, we want to pray together as a community on behalf of one another. And God, we call out to you and we pray, God, that you pour out your blessings on us as Hope Hill Church so that we can be a blessing to those around us. But God, we also call out to you and we say, God, show us the errors of our way. Show us where we have been distracted. Show us, God, the sins in our life. And today, help us to take a step towards releasing those sins, removing those barriers from our life. And as we have a special time of closing today, at the time that we would normally take communion, remembering what Christ did for us on the cross, let us first come to the cross and let us lay at the foot of the cross the sins that Christ died for. And let us fall to our knees, a humble and broken people, calling out to God for his promises to be fulfilled. 1 John 1:9, shortly following the verse I read earlier, the verse said, God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. It goes on to say that if we deny the sin in our life, that there is no truth in us. But 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Let us come before him today, crying out to him on behalf of our nation, on behalf of the people of this world, and say, God, forgive us. God, cleanse us. And now, God, use us. There's a verse that I want to close with today. Chronicles. Will you put that up, Austin? 2 Chronicles 7:14 says this. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Let us do this. Let us do this as a community. Let us come before God together, committing to follow him, committing to embracing the promises he has for us, and surrendering to him, saying, God, take this from my life. Whatever it is, God, that is holding me back, I give it to you. We're going to have the cross here in the center. And today, as our time of reflection unfolds, my desire is for you to have a time of quietness and stillness before God, that you let God speak to you about that rock in your hand. You let God show you whatever that may represent, and that you allow him to lead you to a place of brokenness, to a place of being willing to release this at the foot of the cross. My encouragement would be that you spend the time praying before God, allowing him to break you, either in your seat or, as in some churches do, that you would simply come up before this cross and that you would kneel before God and you would say, God, break me as I lay this at the foot of the cross. And during this time, I also, as you feel like God is leading you and God is forgiving you, I want us to cry out to him and lift our voices together and just say, God, use us. And so I invite you as a community during this time, let us take this time to call out to God, to lift up our voices and to pray for one another, to pray for the work of God in our community, to pray for the forgiveness of sins in our lives. And as we close today, after this time of prayer and coming before God, as you feel led, let's remember that this is all possible because of what God has done for us. Let us pray. Father God, let me be the first to say that I am sorry for the sins that I continue to do in my life. For the areas that do not bring glory to you. Forgive me, God, for being prideful. Forgive me, God, for not being the husband that I should be and the father that my children need. Help me, God, to be broken before you and to be yielded in your hands so that you can make me the person that you want me to be. I thank you, God, for dying on a cross for me to forgive me of my sins. I confess them to you and I ask for your forgiveness. God, I pray that you would. I pray, God, that you would. You would have your will be done in my life, God, and the lives of each of us here as we come before you. Lord Jesus, hear our prayers. Speak to our hearts. Draw us to you.